Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Tuesday morning, so we are talking about getting healed. This part of the series, we're talking about exposing and overcoming our enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And right now we're talking about what it means to be an overcomer. When we talk about overcoming, we know that's our nature. We are now overcomers. We're no longer sinners, but it's our new nature. Our new identity is overcomers. But to get there in our soul, we have to actually do the work. We have to do the overcoming. Two of our enemies, the world and the devil, have already been overcome by God through Jesus when he was here on this earth. But because Jesus was never in a position to develop flesh, which only comes by depending on your own strength outside of God, he never did that. So he never developed flesh, so he never overcame it. So you and I have to overcome flesh, our flesh, for ourselves. We also have to learn the skills, the techniques, the implementation of our identity in our soul, in overcoming the enemies that have already been overcome, the world and the devil. So we are not to be ignorant of our enemies. Instead, we are to be going after them and implementing our new nature into our soul. As we learn each day, according to the training God provides for each one of us, he also chooses how we learn to overcome. But we learn, regardless of the specific circumstances each one of us is in, we're all learning how to live as the new creatures we are, the spirit beings, the overcomers. Overcomers learn dependence. Overcoming is part of the healing process of struggle and warfare, in which we learn to depend on Jesus and not ourselves for training, strategy, strength, and leadership. We learn how to follow him and be followed. We learn from him what it makes to be a good leader, and we, in turn, learn how to be good leaders by leading, by making mistakes, by overcoming. I'm sure you've noticed how many teachers there are in religious Christianity. But so many have never implemented even what they've learned. So we don't want to be like that. We want to be putting into practice what we're learning. And if you're learning about overcoming independence, you need to be overcoming. So we don't run from difficult circumstances. We don't run from or try to avoid challenges. Instead, we recognize that every challenge is an opportunity to learn to depend on God more. God will not let us overcome our enemies in our own strength. In other words, it's not going to be your effort, your understanding, having believed the right things or been to the right conference or read the right book. That's not what's going to do it. He's not going to give you the answers just from your own intellect, from your own emotion, your own passion, or your own working hard. He may use your mind, will, and emotions, but the source of your strength, the source of your overcoming, must come from Him. He has already come. He has already overcome His enemies. So the issue is us overcoming our enemies. So often we hear about the enemies of God keeping Him, preventing His will from being accomplished on this earth. But that's impossible. And we need to settle that. That God's purposes are always accomplished wherever He sets them out to be. He does not have a less than will. He does not have a less than opportunity. He is never thwarted in what He's doing or what He wants to do in your life or in the world. It's our perception and belief that needs to change. If we think that Satan, for instance, is powerful enough to keep God from His appointed purpose for a time, we have a warped and distorted view of the power of both Satan and God. We, in order to accommodate our beliefs, we have to come up with these convoluted approaches that God can't do this because this, and He's put the authority in us, so if we don't pray or if we sin or if this, that, or the other thing, then He can't move, and then Satan has the authority because he's the prince of the air. And on and on and on, and we come up with all these convoluted ideas, thinking that anything that the created can do against the Creator, or that what we believe, if we follow it to the end, even though we have to come up with all these excuses, all these other approaches, instead of maybe we're just believing the wrong thing. Recognize that Satan is here on this earth for you, so you can learn to overcome him. That's it. He is here on this earth so you can learn his ways and know his ways. Not so God can overcome him. God created him. God doesn't need to overcome him. He created him. And he's doing exactly what God wants him to. We have a hard time with that. We have a hard time thinking that God didn't just set up this evil creature. So we've made up all these stories about how Satan came to be and how evil came to be in the world. Even though God clearly states everywhere and has made it very evident and clear that God created evil. And God created good. They're both on the same tree. He couldn't have created one without creating the other. So the issue is not about good and evil. He has absolute control over both. Again, we try to put our own beliefs on what God is doing. And to do that, we have to bend over backwards and forwards. It's like playing Twister with getting God to fit into our belief system. When we let him be God, we begin to see the simplicity of how he works. That overcoming Satan is not the goal. You learning to overcome is the goal. If God didn't want Satan on this earth, all he'd have to do is think it, and he'd be gone. So his presence here is for us. And when we come right down to it, as far as we're concerned, everything is for us, for you, for me, for us as individuals. Not that we try to figure it out, but we ask God, moment by moment, Lord, talk to me about this. What's going on here? Is this something you want to talk to me about? Are you trying to draw my attention to this? And when he gives a simple answer, accept it as such. Very often that's our problem, is we have a hard time accepting his simplicity. But his ways are simple. They're not always easy, because they are contrary to our own flesh, to the way we would do it. It's a good thing we're not God. Nothing would ever get done, but we're not. So our goals are to overcome, to learn through dependence, how to overcome our enemies, our personal enemies. And one thing to remember is that when we set our minds to depend on God, that's when we truly become a threat to our enemies. And we will really learn what's going on with them much more clearly when we learn to depend. When it's no longer about getting to a place where then we can be useful to God, or then we can please him, or then we will fulfill our calling. But right now, this moment, you can depend on God. And that's when your enemies have something to fear. So they will fight back. The world, the flesh, and the devil are going to put up a fight in your life. Bring it on. That's what we're here for. We're not going to wait for them to build their own fortresses in our lives. They've already done that too much. We're going to go after them. We're going to remove the fortresses, the strongholds in our life, and we're going to make sure they can't build new ones. Then we're going to take their land. So we've got a lot of work to do, but it's all through depending on Him. But it's about you. It's not about your neighbor or the country or God's purpose for this earth, as what we've been taught, the end time, you know, that we're in the end times. You know, whatever that means, there's always an end time and there's always a beginning time and there's always a middle time. Time is only related to this earth. So let's not get bogged down in teachings and distractions about what God's doing out there. You just be paying attention to what's on your plate. What has God set on your table? He'll take care of everything else. He always has. He hasn't needed your help. I want you to think about something, though, for a second. When Jesus was hanging on that cross, what was his greatest temptation? How did he show dependence the greatest? Because he's always the example of dependence on the Father. He not only could have come down from that cross, but he could have turned time backwards. He could have called 100 million angels. He could have stopped the universe. He could have destroyed this earth. He could have just thought a thought and gotten out of the situation he was in. But then the devil would not have been overcome. Sin would not have been overcome because the law would not have been fulfilled. So he was never at Satan's mercy. This is so important to understand. He was never at the mercy of those who persecuted him. He willingly depended on the Father to the extent that he suffered such great suffering knowingly. And knowing that with a single thought, he could have gotten out of it. So there are many situations that we're going to find ourselves in. And all too often, our goal is to get out of it instead of going through it. So our focus needs to shift from avoiding the circumstances. Nobody likes pain. We want to get out of pain. And because the church, unfortunately, has been taught that if you are in the center of God's will, then nothing bad will ever happen to you. That's baloney. If you're in the center of His will, then you'll always have peace and confidence, and your enemies will fail, and on and on and on. You fill in what your own sayings are. But none of those is true. There will be times when the victory of dependence will look like total defeat. When Jesus died on that cross, it looked like the end. And it was. It was the end of the law. But it was also the beginning. The beginning of a new thing. And for you and I, we can't go into a new thing until the old finishes. We can't go into sixth grade until we finish fifth. And so many are still in kindergarten because they're just playing. They don't want to go on to the hard stuff. You know, in kindergarten, I don't think you get grades. You just get a star or pass-fail. You just finish your project. But pretty soon you're going to start getting grades. Your work is going to be evaluated. And then when you leave school and you get a job, if you fail at your work, you get fired. There are consequences. So life gets harder, and that's just in the natural. So we just want to stay in kindergarten, where we can play. But that's not for us. That's not who you are. He's not going to let you be satisfied. And so often, that's exactly where we get the discomfort from. For so many, these economic times have shaken their beliefs, their lives. They've turned their lives upside down. Some people have actually turned their own lives upside down. They've split the families. They've lost everything. They've made really stupid decisions. It's cost some their health, their livelihoods, their... And instead of learning from that, how did I get in this situation? Some were too much in debt. Some were depending on the faithfulness of others rather than on the faithfulness of God. Some were just not behaving prudently, and we're living paycheck to paycheck. And all it took was one paycheck to not be there. And some are depending on the government rather than God. But if we don't stop and look, okay, what was going on? What am I supposed to learn? What strategies did the enemy use against me that I'm supposed to learn how to overcome? Lord, what's going on here? If we remember to take every situation, every circumstance, as God, what am I supposed to be learning here? Is this from you? Are you trying to tell me something? Lord, let's talk about this. And again, this goes back to why it's so important to have that confidence that we're hearing from him. We're in communication with him. And remember, in your spirit, 100% of the time, 24/7, you're hearing him clearly and absolutely. This is never an issue about, okay, what has God doing to me? It's like, no, you're agreeing with everything that's going on in your life. God showed you, okay, this is what your life's going to be. And you said, okay. Today, he has shown you in your spirit, this is what's going to happen. And this is what's going to happen next week. And this is what's going to happen next month and next year. And you've said, okay, let's do this. You're already in agreement with everything he's doing in your life. So this is never about getting God to do something. And this is never about trying to avoid something. We can all say that every moment of every day, we're exactly where God wants us to be. It may not feel right. It may not be comfortable. But this is your day. Are you going to overcome in it? Or are you just going to try to get through? Now, overcoming, for some, there's going to be times when just getting through, that's what it's going to look like. The point is, are you getting that feedback from God, or are you getting it from your own beliefs? If you think that as a Christian, you're never going to grieve or be depressed or angry or hurt, Those are things that God's going to have to teach you. Are not, they don't touch your identity. Those are just temporary aspects of being having a soul and living in a body. And it's when we become distracted by trying to overcome our emotions. What a silly thought. God gave you your emotions. Sometimes they're going to be up, sometimes they're going to be down. Emotions are also the last to change as we are freed and healed. So to judge how we're doing by how we're feeling is a total distortion. You judge how you're doing by asking God, how am I doing? And it's always a good idea to check with him on a regular basis. And not presume that since the last time you asked him, he said everything was doing well, that you're still maybe avoiding something in your life. Because maybe the last time you asked him, it was 10 years ago. And maybe you're wondering why there's a recurring problem in the relationship. Because you thought you were doing fine, but then you realize, oh, it was 10 years ago when I really checked in with him. So, and often, you know, come up with something that works for you. We do these, you know, yearly resolutions, but I think that's too far apart. So maybe at the seasons, just pick a day where you're going to spend some time with God and let him, Lord, is there any area that I've been avoiding? Is there anything you want to say? Lord, I'm here for you. Let's talk. And that's in addition to your regular time where you are developing those quiet habits, that quiet lifestyle, so that he is able to talk to you whenever it's convenient for him, rather than waiting until it's convenient for you. As you experience this, it will make more sense. As we are wounded, and you're going to be wounded, there's only two kinds of people here on this earth, those that have been wounded and those that have been wounded more. But part of God's purpose for us now is to learn how to go to him to get healed. We learn to hear his voice, to recognize it. We learn how to be led by him and how to be directed by him. He sends us. He says, I want you to go thus and so and do thus and so. And then it's like he sends us, he gives us what we need, and then he sends us on our way. And then we think, well, he's abandoned us. He's not going with us. But remember, you're in him. There's no place that you go that he's not there. But there, this is how we learn to overcome. We want to be led. We want to be followers of Christ. But he says, no, you are sons. We are in him. We have the full stature of the son. So we are to learn how to be directed and sent where we go on our own, using our own dependence on him as sons. We learn to recognize and submit to the sovereignty, authority, and control of God over our lives. This is only by experience. This is only by day, moment by moment, seeing and experiencing God being active in your life. So we'll pick it up there next Tuesday We'll be getting back together again Thursday. Until then, have a great week. This has been Diane Thomas, Prepare Radio. Thanks for tuning in.